Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. This week is going to be a little bit different than our typical show. Kim McNicholas is here with me in the studio. Hello, Kim.
Hi, everyone.
So, Kim, it's been a while since you've been on the show.
It has. I need to get to Denver more often.
Yeah, you definitely got to. Actually, we're in the studio together. Usually we're throwing these remotes, but we're actually going to be able to see each other this time. Kim, over on her show, over on the Innovators Network, has been doing a series on
health innovation.
Health innovation, which is... You know, as we've seen in the news, healthcare, medical, the cost of medical.
$3 trillion. $3 trillion. The only thing that costs us more is wars overseas. $4 trillion.
It is becoming really top and center, particularly with healthcare insurance. And the fact is that we all want to live longer, right? Mm-hmm. And I spent 30 years of my career predicting the future. And the one thing I can predict is we're all getting older, right? And so how do we live longer? So Kim has actually been working with a company for quite some time, over the last year or so,
right?
Looking and tracking kind of the whole process of innovation for a new technology. And we're going to talk about that today. So Kim, give us a little bit of background on this work you've been doing.
So Ra Medical Systems, I started covering them a little bit more than a year ago. And what I loved about this company just right off the bat is no venture capital, no debt, profitable probably since year three. And they're a 15-year startup really in the making, right? They came out, they took the path of least resistance, path of least regulation, brought one product to market, used the actual profits from that, And they turned it around and reinvested into their ultimate flagship product. And what I love about this flagship product is that I really, according to doctors, it's going to be a game changer. It already is a game changer. It is tackling the number one killer in the United States, which is cardiovascular disease. We have not seen a big breakthrough like this for cardiovascular disease probably since balloon over the wire. So this is really, really huge. And I was able to cover the FDA study from beginning to end. And they just knocked it out of the park. They had a 94% success rate in their FDA study, and they had zero complications. And if you look at their competitors in the marketplace, not one company has that track record. And in fact, one of their closest competitors had a 34% adverse event rate, including death. So this is really a big breakthrough. And I think to date, they've had their FDA clearance since June, done more than 500 cases, almost 600 cases, and still no serious complications. Really huge.
And this is a unique challenge, right? Because medical innovation is incredibly hard because mm-hmm. it is a regulated industry.
Right.
So, and you had a unique front row seat watching mm-hmm. this innovation happen. From that standpoint of actually, you know, being part of it. In fact, I was just teasing Kim before we came on the air about some of the videos and pictures she was posting on her Facebook page.
More vasculature than I do anything else in terms of my photo albums these days.
Yeah. Look what on everybody's
arteries.
iPhone. So let's bring in Dean Irwin. Dean, you sat here. Now, you know, Kim's like is a walking advertisement for you from the standpoint she knows all your facts.
Well, it's true. Kim came on board early in the study and was able to watch how we recruited sites to participate in the study, which was not easy. Watched us struggle with some of the regulatory aspects of the study, the IRBs, getting these sites on board, and then the physician training.
Mm-hmm.
With an innovative product like this, we were a little bit, well, not a little bit out of the box. We were way out of the box.
Right.
So let's back up here a little bit. You know, as Kim shared, you know, there's a history with Raw Medical about how you went through the whole process. But let's back up. You know, you don't all of a sudden become an innovator at that stage in your life. So give us a little bit of context, background on yourself.
Well, sure, there are two parts of it. One is the story behind the technology, which is a great story. I mean, it started back in the 80s. And we're
going to go all the way back to your age 13.
and that's the story I guess we're going to tell right now.
Because how many kids could say that they were an actual innovator at age 13?
So I don't know.
You and I have had a couple of them on our show.
Oh, that's true. Well, nowadays, we're talking a few years ago.
Quite a few years ago. And it was a different world back in the 70s. Things were very different.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to start at, you know, when I was in my, you know, teens, 15, 16, when I started working as an engineer.
No, we're going to go back further. When he was age 13, he left home to fix televisions. He started his own television fixing business.
Well,
he was an entrepreneur from the very beginning.
And that's right. So when I left home, I needed to support myself. And prior to that, I had gone through the neighborhood and found old junk televisions, did some reading, figured out how they worked, bought myself some test equipment. I had a paper route. That gave me the ability to buy some test equipment so that I could work on these electronic devices. Back then, they were mostly all tube-driven devices. And that got me to the point where I went to the local, you know, television repair shop, and they hired me to do piecemeal work. I continued my study of physics and electronics.
On his own.
And then spent a little bit of time at Stevens Institute of Technology and some other areas.
Oh, wow.
Learning. And then finally, one day, I got hooked up with a group that was doing some work at MIT and spent some time there as well as in industry working on some pretty interesting stuff related to thermonuclear fusion.
And here is a guy.
Hold on. Thermonuclear fusion.
From fixing TVs. Never graduated high school.
Leaving home at 13.
Right.
Never graduated from high school.
Never going to college.
You go to Stevens Institute, you end up at MIT on fusion.
We need a few more dots in here because we're not putting thermonuclear fusion with a paper out.
Well, it was a straight line. It was I got involved with a company in New York, actually pretty close to where the IBM headquarters were.
How did you get involved? I mean, you're sitting here fixing televisions, right? And
I walked through the front door, literally just
what
cold.
What made you want to walk through this front door?
The name of the company was Universal Voltronics. So it had to be exciting and interesting.
Wow, did you?
There's a new concept of branding.
So, you know. So I walked in, and they brought out this production guy who said, all right, you know, do you know what a screw is? Do you know how to put things together? And so we talked, and he got up, and he says, I'm the wrong guy. I need to get you somebody from engineering. So he got somebody from engineering, and we went out, and couple of guys, Dan Seligman, John Madeleine, and others, took me under their wings and said, all right, we're going to design circuits. We're going to design this equipment.
But at that age, didn't you need a work permit?
Actually, I think that was overlooked somehow. So, again, this was a different...
This was a different world.
It was technicality. It was a different world back then. So, yeah, no, I couldn't drive. And I walked or bicycled to work in the morning. And these guys really helped me work on my technical skills, as well as fitting into a corporate environment. I mean, we had hundreds of employees, mostly a government contractor. And that's when I got involved with the group up at MIT. One of the projects that I was working on was an electron cyclotron heating system for use in thermonuclear fusion experiments. So at that point, I got to work with Jack Schuss and Dr. Miklos Porkolab on the Alcator C program at MIT, which it was a lower hybrid heating system for use in heating the hydrogen gas within what's called a tokamak to study thermonuclear fusion for a potential energy source to replace nuclear fission.
Wow. At age 15,
16? I guess 16? I was 16 at that time.
I mean, yes,
I'm trying to remember what I was doing at 16.
It
wasn't nuclear fusion. I can attest to that.
We've interviewed 13 and 14-year-olds, but they certainly weren't dealing with the next big energy source.
Holy Toledo. So you were working on that program. What came next? We've got just a short little time before we take a break here.
Well, then next I realized that perhaps the pay wasn't all that great at these institutions, educational institutions. So I heard about this opportunity in California. My company sent me out there to San Diego, to actually Torrey Pines, beautiful location right on the beach, where the government had another energy program, a thermonuclear energy program called the Doublet 3. I worked there for about a year.
Is this out near General Atomics?
This is General Atomics.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Holy Toledo.
Oh, amazing.
So that's
General Atomics is an amazing story.
It is an amazing story.
If you want to know the backstory on Atomic Propulsion Engines for Space. That was right. That was the original impetus for General Atomics.
Right. It was Gulf General Atomics.
Yep.
And then Chevron bought Gulf. Chevron realized that they didn't want to be in that world, and it was sold to some real estate developers.
Okay, we're going to pick up. This is a great start for the show. We're going to pick this up after we take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Carpenters have their hammers and saws. Chefs have their outfitted kitchens. And musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092.
That's 800-223-0092.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back. We're going to pick up this conversation with Dean. So, Dean, we were talking before about now you're at Torrey Pines, you're at General Atomics. And you spent how many years there?
6 years.
6 years.
And he started there at what, age 17 now?
I think I was 17 when
Now, I've been to General Atomics, right? The work there is phenomenal. And you're there without a degree at 17.
And that was a problem. I was the youngest person in the physics department or any department at General Atomics. I think at that time we had about 4,000 employees. So,
and you had hair down to your waist at that time, too.
I didn't. I cut my hair off
the
day before I left for General Atomics.
He knew that game.
So I was cleaned up.
You couldn't pull the hippie
off. That was too much. Too much for them to bite off. So
17 and a hippie. That's a hard one.
Yeah. So I realized I wasn't going to need to. I wasn't going to try to sell that. So I lopped off the hair and really had a great time there. The physicists there were tremendous. They really helped bring me into a lot of different sections of the company, both from an engineering standpoint as well as from the theoretical and applied physics. We all realized that my strength lied in the applied physics end of it. And so I worked on developing the equipment that's used for the experiments. And so, again, the experiments were thermonuclear fusion. And I worked on the maser systems, like a laser, but produced microwaves, very powerful, intense microwaves, again, to heat the plasma for this thermonuclear fusion experiment.
But how is it that someone at age 17 would be able to get into thermonuclear fusion? What is it about you? How is it? I can't even... Your career path just catapulted. I mean, it was on the fast track. What is it about the way you think that allowed you to literally do what most people can't even do in an entire lifetime?
Well, you know, it's not really that complicated. I know it sounds complicated, but the parts that I were doing, the maser itself is essentially a vacuum tube. And, you know, televisions have vacuum tubes. So for me, it wasn't all that different. And the electronics that run it are, in fact, not all that dissimilar from those in a television.
Okay, here's what I'm going to point out, though. Right, the difference, what it sounds like, though, is that you didn't hold yourself back. It was like kind of almost like a no fear. Hey, just like a TV. It looks the same.
How tough
the same,
can it be?
How hard can it be?
Right.
Versus, I think a lot of people in the who've got that idea. It's the fear. They just can't take that first step.
Right. They think
to actually
about
make it.
Everything they can't do versus what they can do and what they do know.
And that's really how I direct my energies. Not ever saying, well, you know, that's intimidating. That's an insurmountable challenge. I look at it as, well, why not? Why isn't it the same? what are the similarities and how can I use those to better understand what I'm doing?
Right. It's almost like innovation by analogy.
Right.
It's like TV, so therefore, why can I apply well on this side? Mm-hmm. And it's actually one of the key things that we don't teach in education today, right, is that problem-solving skill.
Right.
I have this problem. Does it look like any other problem that is similar? And can I apply something totally unrelated to go solve it?
And it, a lot of that comes down to common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it and just figure out how it works. There are so many similarities in physics and in nature that you'll see the same problem solved perhaps many different ways, but with a very common thread.
Mm-hmm.
And that common thread can tie it all together. And for me, that comes very naturally.
Right. The most successful innovators actually come from outside of a certain industry and apply what they see somewhere else in an industry and ultimately become the next big disruptor, such as Elon Musk with Tesla. He had never been involved in manufacturing of cars before, or outer space as well.
Yeah, the SpaceX, I think, is the great story for Elon. Like,
that is huge.
Okay, you're going to commercialize space and you're going to launch somebody up in space. Yeah, right. And we were talking before we started the show about the innovation antibodies. So here, if you walk over to my cube, you'd see an outline of a body and then a sign
almost
on
like
the wall.
Like a crime scene.
Like a crime scene dead body, mm-hmm. and there's a sign on the wall that says, here lies an innovation antibody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually quite funny. I didn't do it. Somebody on staff did it, and it's been there now for 4 years.
It was in your spirit, though.
Yeah. But it is pointing out, though, that we can be our own antibody.
Right.
We can question ourselves to say, you know, hey, you know, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I don't have a college degree. I can't make this happen, right? You know, we're our own worst enemies at bringing our ideas to making them real.
I got out of a meeting this morning with a major medical device company. I had introduced my technology from Ra Medical Systems to them about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their panel of experts, their medical expert, their business development experts, their technical experts, and they all thought I was crazy. They said, right to my face, they said, that's just not going to work. The doctors won't use that kind of product. They use this, they won't use that.
And, well, you know something, though, that I found is the people that yell the loudest and that your idea is the craziest just reinforces that you're on the right track.
And it was true. That didn't dissuade me. So here I'm back in front of the same group again. And he said, well, everything you promised came true. And so we'd like to wipe the slate clean, forget about the past, and move forward. And we're very interested in what your technology
is.
Yeah,
what they're really telling you is don't rub our nose in it.
That's right.
Hey,
it was basically, don't say I told you so.
Yeah, don't say I told you so kind of a thing. You're like, okay, I'm acknowledging it. Let's move on. Let's not, you know, rehash history.
And what was nice is, you know, when I talk about some of the experiences with the product mm-hmm. that we're having, I really had an attentive audience.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of, wow, that's crazy, or that's phenomenal, or, you know, how did you get them to do that? It's just, wow, you got them to do that, and that's really great. So now let's see other aspects of the technology, how it fits in, what's the future, and what can we do with it?
But in you leaving home at age 13, was it something that your parents instilled in you, or some experience from when you were younger that really taught you that not to let what you don't know and have never done before get in the way of what you want to do?
Well, you know, I have children, and I actually see that spirit in them. So perhaps it's just something that's in my DNA, where I say, why not? Mm-hmm. Why can't you leap from this couch to that couch? Or why can't you build it this way? Why can't there be such a color or activity?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? Because, you know, you start looking at, like, you know, siblings or children, or in my case, I have 5 grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at some of those grandkids, and I'm watching them going, oh, man, I know exactly where they're heading, right? You know, I know exactly what they're thinking, and they're going to get themselves in trouble, and they do it. Or the creativity that a small kid, you know, take a toilet paper roll, and how many different ways can a small child turn that into a new toy? So we're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up this conversation with Dean Irwin, talking about a little bit more about his history and past, and then we're going to lead into this medical breakthrough from Ra Medical. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Kill Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Well, welcome back. We're picking up our conversation with Dean Irwin. Now, Dean, in the last segment, you were talking about, you know, this kind of internal drive you have of why not. Now, those of us in the innovation game kind of have what our natural curiosity or why not.
Or stubbornness.
But I think we all have our own stories of it getting ourselves in trouble sometimes. Because we go maybe push that boundary a little too far.
Well, you know, if you couple that stubbornness and that why not attitude with someone who's young, perhaps a teenager, now you can really make trouble. Put that package into a government, you know, lab that also caters to the Department of Defense, and now you've got a real explosive problem.
Literally.
Actually, there were some small explosions, but that's another story. But in one case, in doing my work at General Atomics, you know, we would need equipment, oscilloscopes and things like that from, you know, companies like Tektronix or Hewlett-Packard. And oftentimes these were quite expensive in the, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 range. And back in 1980 and 1981, that was a lot of money. Well, I would call up the rep from the Tektronix or the Hewlett-Packard and say, well, yeah, let's just buy it, bring it on down, and we'll take care of it. And they would sell it to General Atomics. Of course, the proper procedure was to go through the requisition protocol and then have purchase orders done through the purchasing agent with government bids going out for the equipment.
And 2 years later.
Right. And, of course, I would circumvent that. And then someone would say, well, where did this equipment come from and who did this? And, of course, I was dragged up to the top of the hill where I had to promise never to do it again. Of course, you know, next week was far enough away for me so that that didn't seem to stop me. But always in trouble, but somehow forgiven most of the time. And ultimately that sort of behavior led to me spinning out of General Atomics and starting my first company.
Mm-hmm.
And General Atomics was my best customer.
Really?
So I built custom designed equipment that catered to the experiments. So when they had a project, previously they would just ask me to build it. But now they would contract my company to do it. And so that worked out very well. And I wound up working for Western Area Power Administration, Caltech, the Plasma Physics Department of Caltech, on the Phaedrus program.
And how old are you at this point?
I guess at this point now I was 21.
Rip-roaring.
All of 21.
All of 21.
So, and I started the company in an industrial park just outside the gates at General Atomics. And that worked very well.
That's one way to avoid the purchasing department.
Yes. Well,
you're beyond the reach of the gate. They can't grab you.
And what was nice is that, you know, we had a great relationship with a lot of the groups there, and that worked out very, very well.
Did you take your team with you?
No, I didn't. I started first by myself, de novo. I did hire some people out of General Atomics and other companies like SAIC and other defense contractors. And largely that's what we were, although we weren't a defense contractor, although we did do work with the Department of Defense, we were primarily a U.S. DOE supplier.
Okay.
So Caltech, Princeton, Western Area Power Administration, TRW, Lawrence Livermore, those were our customers.
Okay. And how? And so you started that company at 21, so...
Right, so that went for quite a few years. I think that went for another 6 or 7 years, and then that went bankrupt. There were a lot of reasons for that, but the timing and other issues led to, just not enough business coming in.
Right, just earning your stripes at that point.
Right.
I think every entrepreneur needs to go through at least one bankruptcy. I've got stories of having startups shat out from underneath you. So.
Right. So I'm glad that was early on.
Yeah. So, but the funny thing is, tell me if you had the same experience, though. Once you go through that, you'll do anything not to go through it a second time.
That's correct. And you get much more creative. And,
yes.
And you actually build up a tool chest to help you navigate.
It's not something you learn from a book. You almost got to go through the fire.
That's right.
Right, to really understand what does that really mean.
And then the hindsight's much better.
Yes.
So that you can actually predict some of these issues before they occur.
Right, it's one of those ones like, okay, I should have seen that coming, but I didn't know what to look for.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, I have a toolbox that I can go into when things get tough. And when you need to have that forward-looking perspective and say, well, that's okay. It's going to be a rocky road now. I see the road up ahead, or it may be around the curve, but I know it's there. Let's keep driving. Let's put it into low gear and navigate the path.
Do you think that because you were always trying something new, that you had all these little failures along the way, that when you did have that major failure, when you had that bankruptcy, it didn't hit you as hard because you were almost prepared for it? It was like these little failures along the way helped build up to a certain point where it didn't really faze you, that you were able to take the lessons that you needed to learn in that point and move on?
Yeah, at that point, I went right into another startup.
Mm-hmm.
And at that startup, that leads into the product that we're talking about today.
Yeah,
that was my first medical device foray. And it was a company with just a few people. And we were trying to tackle this job of applying an excimer laser, it was something I was very comfortable with at that point, to treating atherosclerotic disease.
So did you do the startup, or were you hired into a startup?
I was hired into a startup that was just getting out and just trying to figure out how to develop this.
How did you hear about this startup, or how did they hear about you? Which way was it?
It was very funny. It was a little ad in the paper, and I saw it. And for many times in my career, including at Spatialite, which is Kim knew me from.
I was his assistant.
What? I didn't hear this side. I've never heard this part of the story.
It was during college.
One is, I can't imagine what life was like having Kim McNicholas as your assistant. That could be interesting.
Fortunately, it was a long time ago, and she hadn't developed these habits that she has.
Yeah. So she's learned bad habits since then.
Since then.
I've learned to talk.
So that was actually back in 93, and I'm talking about even before then. So, yeah, I came in, and the idea was to apply this excimer laser, which, again, was a gas laser, something I'm comfortable with high voltage and high power, again, using masers and other types of high-power lasers. That's very comfortable for me. And I saw the ad, and I knew precisely that I was the person to do that. And so I went, and of course I was hired.
So did you have an interest in medical, or was it just, hey, I can take my physics, the fun stuff I do in physics, and find some way to apply it?
Or was there
really a draw for the medical side of it?
At that point, I looked at the medical aspect of the challenge as being just very similar to the aspect of thermonuclear fusion. applying all these different tools to, heat the plasma. Well, if we're not heating a plasma or trying to contain a plasma, well, here we're just trying to photochemically ablate this plaque. So, it's not really a medical problem. It's we've got this material within the arteries that we need to dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
And let's figure out how to get this energy to do that.
So backing up a little bit, when I think about you're doing trying to correlate thermonuclear fusion to plaque in a vein, it sounds like what it really is you've got a toolbox of skills and abilities. And then it's really what I refer to as kind of this constraint-based innovation. How do I take the tools within a certain set of constraints, right? Do fusion, but I got to do it in a very particular way, otherwise very bad things happen. Or in this case, how do I apply it to the plaque problem?
And not have very bad things happen. And it's even more important inside a living person.
And not give doctors and patients a bad day.
Yeah. Do you find that constraints actually help you in the whole process? Or because, I mean, we've had this discussion on the show in the past around just letting teams go hog wild every which way direction. Or do you apply those constraints and actually do they get more creative on when you define those constraints clearly?
And I think that the iterative path is the best. So you actually need to take the first idea and iterate it, make a change, move it closer to the goal, and find out if that's the right way. Oftentimes, there's a lot of backtracking.
Correct.
But eventually, that type of iterative development will get you much further quicker than the sort of shotgun approach and let everybody run hog wild.
Perfect. Take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation with Dean Erwin. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Carpenters have their hammers and saws. Chefs have their outfitted kitchens. And musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back. We're going to pick up our conversation with Dean Irwin. Now, Dean, you were talking about, your company went bankrupt, and this was kind of your foray into medical, but it was the first company that was doing medical with lasers.
So Excimer lasers.
Mm-hmm. So what's the background on that company and how'd that do?
Well, around that time, between 1988 and 1992, there were quite a few companies that were looking to excimer lasers for treating atherosclerotic disease. Excimer lasers are called a cold laser and, in fact, are used for LASIK surgery today. So the concept is that you can remove tissue by this process called photochemical ablation. You actually use the light to break down the molecules into their fundamental chemistry. And that is atraumatic. That is, it doesn't heat the tissue. It doesn't cause trauma to the surrounding tissue. Perfect for eye surgery. But imagine if you could sort of dissolve that plaque from within arteries. That's a huge advance for cardiovascular disease. And excimer lasers held that same promise for cardiovascular disease as they did for eye surgery, reshaping the cornea. So it was a natural shoe-in, and we all tried it. A bunch of different companies here in the U.S. and outside the U.S. tried it. There was one tremendous challenge that they didn't have for LASIK surgery, is getting the energy that is photochemically ablative from the laser down to the blockage in the arteries. For the eyes, it's easy. Just open your eyes, and the laser's right there. Mm-hmm. So that didn't require this delivery system. As it turned out, everything that we wanted to use to get the energy there was also affected by the laser radiation. So it was photochemically attacked as well.
Wow.
And so that posed a challenge. How are we going to get this energy there? We tried glass fibers. We tried a bunch of different things. And They all had very serious drawbacks. Either they converted the energy into packets that had too much heat, or you had to lower the energy density or the temporal density, and then it didn't work as well, and it didn't work on some of these different plaque types that were really important. So the challenge was almost insurmountable, to the point where at that company we gave up on that.
But you knew that it worked because you had actually done one case with a solid piece of glass.
Correct. We knew that technologically we were on solid ground, no pun intended, but for some later discussions. But because we solved the problem by using a liquid. So, but back to the solid glass, we knew that having a device that could handle the peak energy densities and the peak temporal densities was going to work. Again, but having solid pieces of glass, they couldn't navigate the vasculature.
Right.
So we had...
That would be really painful.
We had a great understanding of the physics and the laser tissue interaction, but we still didn't have a solution of getting the laser energy to where it was needed in the tortuous vasculature of the human anatomy.
So this ties back, because we talk a lot about on this show around the difference between a good idea and a great idea is very rarely the idea, but the timing. Now, needing some other advances or just kind of letting the innovation pause for a while to think about it and then to really think, come back to it and apply either some other innovation that's come out in the meantime. We talk about this a lot in mobile technologies, right? Need one more cycle of Moore's Law or two more cycles of Moore's Law to get enough compute to be able to solve the problem, right?
And here we had all of these interventional cardiologists with balloon technology just coming out. Devices were being delivered over the wire. That whole endovascular treatment of cardiovascular and vascular disease was in its infancy. So fast forward, now here we are in the 21st century. And that's commonplace today. In fact, almost all of these procedures, whether it's blockages in your coronary arteries or in your peripheral vascular, are all being handled endovascularly. That is, through a small incision in the groin, going up through the femoral artery, and either treating the heart with a stent or a balloon, or treating the legs in a similar manner. So that endovascular infrastructure developed over the time of this pause, when we paused to consider new methods to deliver this laser energy. So you're right. It did take this whole industry coming of age and being prepared to acknowledge and use these tools with support devices as well. That's important to us, and we'll talk a little bit about that later.
Yep. Did you actually think you were going to come back to it? You washed your hands of it at that point and said, I give up.
Not at all.
And you went on to something completely different.
I went on to do a cardiovascular laser for transmyocardial revascularization just afterwards. I did take a little pause and developed spatial light modulators for scientific applications, and actually that's where we worked together from 93 to 97. But that was directing laser beams for both optical computing technology as well as consumer electronics as well.
So what we're going to do here, this is the first time we're doing this on this show, is we're actually going to have a part two to pick up 15 years later the pause on this technology to then talk about what you're doing with Ra Medical and with this innovation that's transforming people's lives today.
Right.
So stay tuned. We're going to pick this up in next week's show. You're not going to want to miss this part of the story. So as you wrap up today's show, just need to do a quick couple of acknowledgments of our sponsor for Killer Innovations, Zoom, providing collaboration video technologies that allow our teams to work together no matter where they are anywhere in the world, and HP. HP has graciously been providing the technologies and services and support for the show and in the studio. Zoom is offering a free account to the listeners of Killer Innovations. Go check it out, killerinnovations.com/Zoom. It gives you a free account to collaborate with up to 50 people. Check it out. I'm on Zoom every day, multiple times a day. Can't live without it. And then with HP, HP is providing the new gear going into the studio. If you want to check out how that's coming along, you can hop over to killerinnovations.com/HP. As we wrap the show up, check out the show notes. We'll have more information to track what Dean is doing and all of his work, but you're not going to want to miss next week's show to hear the rest of it about how the pausing of that innovation and waiting for the timing to get right to come up with a technology that is transforming people's lives. And Kim will be here for the show for next week. You're going to want to check it out. And thanks for joining us today, Kim.
Thank you. Can't wait to see the answer to the number one killer in the United States.
So stay tuned. We'll be back next week. Don't let the innovation antibodies get you down. Go out there and change the world.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.